today, then it's Charter West Bank versus Riddle. And Mr. Riddle, good morning to you. Are you going to be arguing this morning? Thank you very much. And Mr. Silver, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Do either Mr. Riddle or Mr. Silver have any questions before we begin?
I have no questions, Your Honor.
I have no questions, Mr. Chief Justice.
Very good. Then, Mr. Riddle, you may approach the podium and you may proceed.
Thank you, and thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mr. Silver, members of the gallery. My name is Justin Riddle. This is my wife, Erin Riddle. We're here today as pro se litigants in this matter. Our lives, like anyone, were constantly evolving. After several years of hard work, saving, budgeting, and debt reduction, we were ready to purchase a home. We worked with Charter West, but at a point in the process, we were uncomfortable with their operation, decided to withdraw our loan and work with a different bank. In retaliation, Charter West put a code in the FHA system that indicated a non-existent child support obligation was past due. This prevented us from consummating our agreement with the new lender, as it's a system that every lender uses, but only the lender who put in the code could fix. After months of bootless requests asking Charter West Bank to correct the record, it was clear they were not going to remove the lie, so I proceeded to file a lawsuit. When it became obvious that we were not being treated fairly by the court, I decided my best course of action was to make a public gripe website. I researched the laws, and once I understood what was allowed, I alone, without the consent or knowledge of my wife, went to GoDaddy and searched for a suitable URL.
Mr. Riddle, just more for the benefit of the folks watching, the court to which you referred, where you felt you were not being fairly treated, to what court were you referring to?
That would be the district court, the appeals court as well.
In the federal system.
Mm-hmm.
So not in the state court system?
Well...
The one you were talking about was the federal district court, which then was appealed to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Correct.
Now, you may get around to something else, but I just want everyone to understand what you were talking about.
Thank you.
Your initial lawsuit was filed in the federal district court.
Yes.
All right. And there was motions to dismiss, court dismissed certain parties, and did you appeal that to the Eighth Circuit?
I did.
Okay. And then you filed, is there another action now in state court that we're here on today?
Yes. That's where I'm getting to.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Incredibly, CharterWestBank.com was available. I immediately purchased it and did additional research to verify I could legally use that URL. According to the Lanham Act and a very clearly defined fair use doctrine, because I'm not a competing business and my site is entirely set up to criticize, I am legally allowed. Charter West has decided to sue us for that website based on the Anti-Cyber Spotting Act, which brings us here today. Cyber spotting was the choice for the plaintiff, as it's the one and only way that someone can obtain a website by force. There's no other remedy in law that forces the transfer of internet real estate. However, Charter West has fallen short on their claim on every avenue, and I'll explain how.
Just to, again, be clear for the benefit of our audience, the Cyber Squatting Act to which you have referred is part of the Lanham Act, but there are other parts.
Certainly.
Of the Lanham Act.
Certainly.
And when you were talking about having researched the Lanham Act, you were perhaps talking more broadly than just the Anti-Cyber Squatting Act?
The fair use doctrine was more broadly, but as far as the Lanham Act, I was very specific with cyber squatting.
That's okay. That's what you're talking about.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me just pursue that from a statutory standpoint. So this case is in the playground of the anti-squatting statute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there are elements that would need to be proved by a party plaintiff.
Precisely.
And generally speaking, what are those elements?
Well, to qualify for protection, one must either hold a trademark or be so well recognized on a national or global scale that their name would be sufficient for most individuals to know who they were. Charter West does not hold a trademark to my domain name, although if they did, the fair use is affirmative, and that's a, I've proven it several times.
When you say they don't hold a trademark to your domain,
yeah, they're not trademark.
Well, I just hold it. To be precise, I mean, you don't trademark a domain name. You trademark a name.
Correct.
And your contention is they do not have a trademark for Charter West.
Correct.
So the statute and the cases are referring to mark, not trademark, in the
service mark, trademark.
Well, they're not fungible. So under the anti-squatting statute, the mark needs to be confusingly similar, right?
That would be one
of the elements, mm-hmm. Right? But it's not the same as trademark of likelihood of confusion. They're not the same. Do you agree?
I would agree, yes.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Additionally, notwithstanding the rest of the world, most people in Nebraska don't know whether Charter West is an Oregon-based shipping company, California travel agency, or Nebraska bank, because they're not well-known and large, thus disqualifying them from the other prong. In case there
are two words used in the phrase to which I think you are referring, distinctive or famous. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about both of those words, or are you talking about just famous?
Famous.
What about distinctive?
It's not trademarked, so it doesn't have any, there's no protection for that.
When you say it's not trademarked, are you saying there's no evidence that they have a registered trademark?
Correct.
The USPTO?
Would I be able to step to the next prong? I think it'll answer all the questions. Thank you.
Sure.
In case the lack of qualifying conditions does not on its own satisfy the court, there's a second, standalone, fundamentally more important area the claim fails. Public criticism, parody, gripe websites are constitutionally protected activities. When I purchased the site, I immediately started cataloging the way that Charter West had fabricated information to damage us, the little guy. It's easy to explain through a website. I'm going to skip some of this. But in order to win this case, Charter West must prove I was acting in bad faith. This is simply impossible to do based on the factual and legitimate gripe that initiated my complaint prior to purchasing the website.
It seemed that the state district court was concerned about the offer to sell the website for $1 million. Does that have any impact?
I'll skip ahead to that. You will see an email string from the plaintiff titled, Settlement Offer Withdrawal was allowed into evidence despite my objection, because as Judge Durr insisted, quote, it's not an offer of settlement because there could be some more nefarious information contained. Simply meaning that he would allow those emails with an open admission that he could use them as a fishing expedition. Let's just skip to the, because we're running
before out. Before you move on, with regard to your bad faith argument, are you saying there could not be bad faith here because what you're asserting was true?
Correct. It's not only true, it's legal. And I haven't impersonated the bank. I haven't tried to sell bank products. Anything is for sale. If the bank wants to buy the website, I can sell it to them. That's not cyber squatting. I mean, it's defined, and I just haven't done that.
It's defined, and bad faith has the 9 statutory factors of bad
Correct.
Faith, right? 15 U.S.C. 1125, D1, D1. Did I do it? Okay. So, right?
And there are other things that can be considered
right,
as well.
Right, and that is kind of a reference for an analyst.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And then I would also like to mention, if there's any remaining doubt, all one needs to do is visit www.nissan.com. You'll see that it's currently owned as a gripe website, and that www.nissanusa.com is what the world's 9th largest car manufacturer and 157th largest company owns. I pray the court upholds the same decisions as every other high court regarding gripe websites and move them to dismiss with prejudice, as there's really no other legal question to answer. I would like to reserve my remaining time.
You may.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Silver, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, Your Honors. My name is Jeffrey Silver. I represent, have the privilege of representing Charter West Bank in this matter. This is not a freedom of speech case. This is an internet blackmail case. What this gentleman did was buy a website that he found that, unfortunately for Charter West, they did not have. And he bought this domain site, and he did it for one purpose only, and that was to injure and damage Charter West. The emails that are part of the record, I think, reflect astonishingly what his bad faith is, if I may.
May I jump ahead? And
sure.
I think you mentioned this injury to Charter West. What is the injury to Charter West on this record?
The injury to Charter West on the record is the confusion that it's going to cause with respect to its website that it has, that we have in the record.
Is that prospective, or is that already happened?
I'm sorry?
Is that prospective, or has that already happened?
That is, well, in one of his emails, and I'll reference it for you, Mr. Chief Justice, he says the damage is going to happen, and we're not even going to know about it. So the fact of the matter is, there may be damage happening to us.
But then you're all speculating.
Well, you can't speculate about the damage, because he's telling us in his email that the damage is going to occur, and we're not even going to know that it's occurring.
Well, I don't... Is this your proposition that some navigational miscue results in damage automatically?
No, it's not a navigational miscue. It's an intentional, purposeful attempt by Mr. Riddle to damage the bank by having his website, or this website, put up and make believe it's Charter West Bank.
I think you answered it with the answer to it. Was there evidence of bad faith, and evidently you believe so.
Yes, if I may.
What about all these cases that seem to say right websites are permitted? Do you disagree with those cases, or is this case distinguishable?
This is not a gripe site. I understand that gripe sites are okay. If somebody wants to make a gripe site about Charter West being really bad and not doing everything, that's fine. That's certainly protectable. This is not a case about a gripe site.
What distinguished this?
Because in his, if I may, our exhibit number 3, he says in his email, by next Wednesday, I can absolutely annihilate your client. Please play your game. He does not indicate that he has a problem with Charter West, or a problem with Charter West in terms of how it handled his loan, which was already decided by the district court, federal district court, and then held up on appeal by the 8th Circuit. He's wanting to damage Charter West. It's different in my mind from saying a gripe site.
Hold on. Oh, sure. Is that the case for everyone that wants to operate a gripe site? I mean, they're displeased with their experience with the company, and they want other people to know about it. What's problematic about
that? It's not problematic to have a gripe site, but if you look at the context of all the emails, first of all, he buys the domain name, then he wants to sell it, which is exactly what the Anti-Cybersecurity Act talks about.
It's the request for payment.
Yes, is different than just a gripe site. And interestingly enough,
suppose he had registered ihatecharterwestbank.com. Would the Anti-Cyber Squatting Act apply to that?
If you just had that domain name, the answer would be no. But that's not the case in this case. Not only does he have the domain name, but as part of the Cyber Squatting Act, he has to sell it, or you have to want to do it for commercial purposes. The emails say he wants to sell it to us. He wants $1 million from us to buy that domain name. That is different than what Judge was talking about as a gripe site.
One of the assignments of error that your opponent did not particularly talk about this morning at any length was the argument regarding Rule 408. And his objection to the evidence on that ground.
Sure.
What's your take on that?
My take is 27408, and this court said in the McGill restoration case, that settlement discussions are immunized from being admitted into evidence. This was not a settlement discussion. This was a threat made by him in various emails that we have in the record to destroy Charter West. This is not a case where he said, I want X, in exchange for X, I'll give you Y, and we'll settle the case. These are threats. And if you look at 27408, it's a lot different than 27408 talks about offered for another purpose. This was not offered for the purpose of demonstrating liability to us for the loan process, which has already been litigated. This was offered to demonstrate the threats that he was making against Charter West as a result of him being unhappy. And the fact of the matter is, going back to your point, Judge Papert, there are emails where he has other websites that he wanted to buy. He got WW Nebraska Corrupt Banks, WW Corrupt Nebraska Bank. He could have all those domain names, and under any one of those domain names, or if he wants to have his own domain name, he could have that, and he could say all the bad things he wants to say about Charter West, subject, of course, to perhaps
you pointed out emails several times to support your argument here. Was there anything actually on the website that you're asserting is disallowable?
We did not see anything on the website that was offered. All we offered into evidence to support our position were the emails where he demonstrated, one, I want to sell the domain name back to you.
So to answer my question, there's nothing in the record that shows that there was anything on the website that was disallowable.
That's correct, Your Honor. We agree with that.
So the crux of the case is the offer to sell for $1 million.
I'm sorry?
That's the crux of the case, the $1 million offer of sale?
No, that's not. That's part of the case. Part of the case is also, I want to annihilate you, and it's also part of the case where he wants to sell the domain name back to us. If you go back to the U.S. Cybersecurity Act, it talks about trying to sell it. So he bought this domain name, or I don't know how much he paid for it. We don't know that. But he has the domain name, and then he wants to sell it either to us, or if we don't buy it, he's going to sell it to somebody else.
If he'd offered a different number, less than $1 million, would that be a violation?
Yes, because
if he offered it to sell it for what he bought it for, would that be a violation?
Yes, because if you look at the act, it talks about selling it for a commercial purpose. And here, it doesn't matter if he was going to offer it to us for a dollar. He was selling it for a commercial purpose, which brings him squarely within the act. And that's why Judge Durr was correct in issuing the permanent injunction.
There still had to be bad faith, though.
So you think that goes to the bad faith intent to profit from the use of the name as opposed to owning the name?
I think that goes as one component of it. I think the other component of it is, if you look at the threads through the various emails, when he says, I'm going to annihilate you, I'm going to damage you, talking about Charter West, in connection with the sale, it all puts together a purpose. This is not, as Judge Papert asked before, this is not a gripe site. You want to have a gripe site? Be our guest.
Before your time expires, I want to expand on your last thought there. In response to one of my earlier questions, I thought you agreed that a website like I Hate Charter West Bank would be perfectly legal.
If standing in and of itself, okay. I don't know that I could, I don't know that we could stop that. But
now, I want to talk about the scope of the injunction that was actually granted. And I think you can see where I'm heading with this. The scope of the injunction was not just using this website, but any other domain name containing the words Charter West.
Yes.
Is that defensible?
I think it is defensible.
Why?
Because when Judge Durr, if you recall the sequence of how we got back to Judge Durr, we went back to him on a rehearing. And initially, he did not issue the injunction because he thought we had not demonstrated damages. But when he looked again at those emails, and he looked again at what the purpose of those emails were, And the fact that I think the most important part of the response to you, Your Honor, is he tells us, Mr. Riddle tells us in his emails, you will not know the damage that we are causing. So I think Judge Durr understood that because we're never going to be able to know the damage that's going on, he decided that it was the best thing to do was just to stop.
Take an easy case damage, like somebody is redirected, right, to the website that's, quote, squatting, right, and buys stuff there instead of where they really intended, right, to go to the authentic vendor. Now you know that's redirected business.
Yes, okay, yes.
What's the injury again?
The injury is certainly...
Not based on evidence.
The injury is that people that are going to want to do business with Charter West, and I think in the record demonstrates that Charter West has remote banking. So we have remote banking. Somebody is going to go to that remote banking and see his domain name before they're going to see Charter West's domain name and think...
But he's not selling mortgages.
Certainly, I agree with that. But I don't think that makes, frankly, Your Honor, I don't think that makes a difference that he's not selling mortgages.
Didn't the website actually say we're not Charter West Bank right in it?
He had that on as a disclaimer, but that's after the fact, Your Honor. You get to the website. If you're a customer of Charter West and you go to their website and you see his domain name, then you have to go through, well, we're not Charter West. How do you know we're not Charter West? I don't think that disclaimer takes...
Does Charter West have on its website we're not Charter West?
We do.
You say that you're not yourself?
No.
On the website?
Well, no.
Is there evidence in the record that there's a mark that is famous or distinctive?
I would say, Your Honor, we acknowledge we do not have a trademark.
So what gives you protection under the Act?
What gives us protection under the Act is the fact that we have a domain name, multiple domain names that have the name Charter West in them.
You concede that there's no evidence in the record of a famous or distinctive mark.
I would agree with that. We do not have that registered as a mark.
I'm not asking about registered with the USPTO.
And the rest of the answer was we don't have anything that indicates that it's famous.
Distinct.
Aren't those requirements
to proceed under the Cyberspy Act?
I don't think they are. I think if you look at the Act, it does not require you to have a trademark, or it does not require you to have a specific distinctive, famous, or whatever adjective you want to add to the word.
Okay, let's say I open a store and I call my store Hamburgers because I sell hamburgers, and someone else then gets the domain name Hamburgers.com. Can I bring a cyber squatting claim and say, I got a mark. My store is called Hamburgers.
No, because
What's
that's...
different that, about this?
The difference is, not only did he get the name, but he wanted to sell it also. That's what the critical difference is. It's not just having the name. You can have hamburgers, and I can go out and get and open up another store right next to you that says Hamburgers. But if I buy the domain name Hamburgers, and then I come to you and say, you know what? I have the domain name Hamburgers, but I'm going to sell it to you for X dollars so that you can take me out of the picture. Then I think you're bringing yourself within the purview of the Act, and then I think we have something to talk about.
Chief, can I ask one more question?
You may.
You had said this is not a gripe site. Why is it not a gripe site?
It's not a gripe site because a gripe site doesn't involve somebody wanting to sell it. What happens is
the key difference is wanting to sell.
Yes, and not only wanting to sell it, but offering to sell it, not only to us, but indicating that if we did not buy it, he would sell it to somebody else or some other trust that would take him out of the picture. So I think that makes a critical difference between somebody having a gripe site. Like I said before, if he wanted to have Bank Nebraska's, pardon my friend, suck, and talk about Charter West, perfectly okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 1 minute, 20 seconds.
We'll give you 2 minutes, Mr. Riddle.
Thank you. One, I will just say that, and again, as far as the admissibility of those emails is in question, but blackmail is not cyber squatting. So if he wants to say I was trying to hold them hostage for this money, that's a separate charge that he knew wouldn't fit because we were in the process of negotiation, which is why this settlement negotiation was in the title of the email from them. You know, this was started by Charter West. It was continued by the CFPB, the Department of Banking and Finance, the Fed Reserve of KC, the Attorney General, the Ombudsman, the Lower Court, and the Appeals Court in that order. Every single tax-funded agency and safeguard was either incapable of reading or conspired to harm a citizen, leaving only a perfectly documented exploitation by every party. In my original case, the material change was as easy as looking at one single checkbox on one page of one mutilated document, yet somehow zero over two dozen trained experts knew what spoliation is. In this case, it's without question Charter West is to silencing a critic. Everyone, including the lower court, states it. That's an admission, not a cause of action. While representing myself, I've watched as every single legal professional use their training to take advantage of what they mistakenly saw was a weak target. This complete disregard for the law made it impossible for an average citizen to navigate what should be an unbiased legal system. Both of my cases, I feel, have proven systematic abuse, making it clear to me that if you're not in the club, the law is not just discretionary, it's irrelevant. The system left me one option, a legally acquired gripe website. To affirm the decision of the lower court, there must be a question of law. If a question exists in any of your minds, it should be asked right now to stop this cycle of abuse and after 7 years, finally give me one fair opportunity to respond to something that would call into question what I've said. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Counsel, that concludes, and Mr. Riddle, that concludes arguments in Charter West Bank versus Riddle. And you are hence excused. And the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Schumann versus Temperley.